Welcome to Angel Heart Radio, where we inspire you to new heights of discovery. Join the conversation on our live streams. Head on over to Angel Heart Radio on Facebook. And there's even more for you on angellight777.com.
Angel Heart Radio. I'm Annette McCoy. Joining me today is Marnie Perna. We're in for a fabulous show, and it's an extended show today because once Marnie takes her leave, Rosemary Butterworth is going to join me, and she has a very special meditation for us today. So grab your coffee and sit down, or maybe you can listen to us in the background while you're doing something else. Whatever you choose to do, we thank you for being with us. If you are wanting to join in the conversation, and we really enjoy people joining the conversation, please go over to the Angel Heart Radio Facebook page, because that's where you can make the comment. I'd like to remind everybody that these shows should not replace your legal, medical, nor professional advice, nor your own sound judgment. Marnie and I give our own opinions, and we're hoping that you will listen, absorb, and then make up your own mind about how you feel about what we talk about. And Marnie, today we're talking about how do we deal with life when there's joy and sorrow simultaneously? And I know that you've just experienced that recently. So it seems like a great topic, and it's something that touches us all from time to time.
Absolutely. It's you've got both sides of the coin all the time. So you've got your yin and your yang. And with joy, you also have sorrow, and vice versa. And I think what it happens to people is if they're experiencing really big joys in their life at a time where they should be sorrowful, they also experience a fair amount of guilt. The guilt of the living. Yeah.
Yes, it can be a tough one. I know a friend of mine years ago was saying that it was important that I was joyful when I was joyful, irrespective of how other people were. There's that balancing act, though, isn't it? Because I'm feeling joyful. I'm aware that somebody else is going through a totally different experience.
Yeah, and you often feel guilty about feeling happy, especially when something sad that's happened. And a lot of the sadness we're talking about is the sadness of the loss of a loved one or someone you're close to. And that needn't be a person. Sometimes it's your animal. And you can feel a lot of grief about your animal. In fact, I also felt a lot of sorrow, possibly a lot more sorrow for my dog that passed a couple of years ago than I did over other people that had passed. Mm-hmm. And I think I realised she mimicked my mum's journey. So she went off for food. So it brought back a lot of memories of caring for mum, because dad and I palliative cared mum in her last stages of life as well. And it was that whole frustration about not being able to make her better, and knowing it wasn't about an ego trip. It was just about, you know, what knowledge did I have that I could encourage her to eat? And honestly, I tried so many things and she'd had enough. She was ready to move on. And that was her choice. But at that stage, I was still trying to keep her here. I would say, no, it's too early. You've just turned to 92. You're not ready. You know, I'm not ready. Don't do this to me. It was that whole journey of what can I do? And at the same time, because it was my first experience, and a lot of people may relate to this, it was my first experience of someone close to me dying. I mean, I'd had deaths in the family, but I'd never been the carer or the immediate person with that person. So hers was classed as fragility. So she was going through the final ends of life. And I thought that part of life was palliative. Palliative care to me meant end of life. So I was asking the questions, what should I expect? Like, I haven't nursed someone who's dying. So what's the process? Like, give me a protocol so I'm aware of what's about to happen. Not that it goes according to plan. It's a bit like your baby protocol. None of that goes to plan either. But at least you have some expectation. Mm-hmm. And I kept asking people, what is, you know, what does it mean? What does the palliative care end look like? And I was getting responses to the effect of, oh, that just means your mother's dying. And I went, seriously? I know that part. That's not the bit I need. I need to know what happens. Like, how is the process? I now know it's called end of life care or end of life planning. I didn't know those words, and no one grasped the fact that that was what I was asking. I've done a lot of research since then, so I know the right words. So if you're caring for someone, if someone you know is going through the end of their life, that's the terminology you use to ask the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because you sometimes need to know, like when they stop eating, when they stop drinking, all those, you know, life things that happen, you need to know how that flows so you're a little bit prepared as well, because it's not just, oh, they suddenly decide to die. It just doesn't happen that way. There's the body shuts down gradually.
Can do.
When you're going through that, you're grieving at the same time, but you're also trying to be stoic and strong for that person. But they're over it by then. Like, they don't expect you to be stoic and strong. And it's a hindsight thing, isn't it? I didn't know all these things at the time.
No, you know them now. And that's that's where it's wonderful, because you can pass on this knowledge to other people.
Yeah, and I've actually done several. I'm a community host for people. They get groups together. They call them kitchen table discussions, and the kitchen table discussion is on subjects. And I've done two now on end of life care, where I was the host asking people of their opinion and what did they go through and what was their expectation. So it kind of gave me that a little bit of an impetus and willingness to talk about the subject as well.
Right. We're very fortunate, aren't we, to have these experiences and then be able to support other people through our own experiences. Yeah. That's what I love about Angel Heart Radio. And our audience get the opportunity to share as well. So if you are listening and have something to share about joy when there is sorrow, and even, Marnie, when we are, when somebody passes and we're in that, we're organising the formalities, there's a lot of lots of laughs, aren't there, and joy when we're remembering lovely experiences that have happened throughout that lifetime. And it's a wonderful opportunity for families and friends to come together.
I can
remember when my husband passed, friends were helping me choose music, and I said, oh, thank you, because I really felt that they were putting themselves out. And a very dear family friend said, I'm doing this as much of myself as for you. That woke me up too. It was like, oh yes, I was a chief griever, but there were other people who were
hurting. She's my mother, leave me alone. And you tend to take over, like you tend to be a leader. So, you know, if you're wearing that mantle, that's the mantle you want, because you want everything done right, you want everything done correctly. And like the funny things that you think to take, and today is about grief and sorrow and passing and reliving and things like that. And as you say, you must relive the person's life so that when you talk about them, you can talk about them more joyfully, and knowing that, yes, they have passed, but we're here still, so we need still to live. So we can't be so, some people are so bound in their sorrow that they can't move forward. And talking does help with that, and sharing does help with that, but some people have a very private grief process. I tend to be a more talkative kind of person, and I know my dad dealt with things much differently to me, and he's only just coming out of his grief tunnel. And that's 4 years. We've just celebrated 4 years, or acknowledge the anniversary of 4 years, because I won't celebrate the anniversary. I'll acknowledge it, but it's not my celebration. My celebration is her birthday. I'll acknowledge that, because it's around this time. I've just gone past my four-year anniversary. And Dad, I think, is just coming out, but I needed to talk about Mum. I needed to bring her name up all the time, whereas Dad went shut. really shuttered. And even for the funeral service, Dad was very closed. He didn't want to tell people. He didn't want to put it in the paper. It was his wife, not anyone else's person. But it left a lot of us out. So we had to sort of, you know, chop him along and say, well, look, you kind of need to do these sort of things. It's not all about you, even though to him it was. And you do need to feel joy. And like, because it's Mum's anniversary, and then we had a family member pass last week, so we've just had her funeral as well. But in my life at the moment, there was so much joyful things happening, and you felt a little bit guilty really being excited about it. Like, I won a big award, and I'm going out to Parliament House tonight for as a guest for Queensland Women's Week. So there was all these great things coming up. And yet some of the family members were having to go to the funeral, and we watched it on video. But so you did feel guilty being really, really happy. And then you know that the person won't mind, but that it's the perception of others that I think influences our responses sometimes. How are we being perceived when we're being all happy and joyful over here, but this has happened?
Yes.
So remember, it's not about other people. So you've got three kinds of businesses in the world. You've got your business, their business, and universal business. Mm-hmm. You don't need to be as impacted by other people's business. It's about you. It's your business. It's your life. And you know that the person that has passed will lovingly and graciously allow you to still live.
Sure.
And that's what you need to pick up from.
Right. So, yes, you're well aware that there's joy in your life as well as the sorrow.
Sadness. Yeah, and sorrow.
And it's the guilt, isn't it? You know, how do we deal with that guilt, being able to say, well, okay, yes, there's grief. However, I am going to celebrate the award. It's a fantastic, Marnie. You know, you really.
I know. It was wonderful. I'm the Sir Optimus International Moreton North Inspirational Woman of the Year. I mean, it was huge. And it was also our big celebration of International Women's Day. So there was a lot of busyness preparing for the event as well. It wasn't just me receiving the award. There was all the collation of everything that went towards having a large event. And in the midst of it all, you're booking flights and thinking, oh, should I go? Should I not go? You know, what's going to happen? And then my little granddaughter was hospitalized with an asthma attack, and you go, oh, my God. And at the back of it, you sort of push it all to one side and you put a different hat on. You go, oh, but I'm having such fun.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think you have to acknowledge. So, you know, I'm a stress buster. So I help people cope with their stress. I help them cope with their grief, with whatever's going on in their life, and their guilt and all the other bits and pieces that go through with it. And I say to people, there's nothing wrong with experiencing sorrow, grief, despair, despondency, all of those kind of it. Of emotions. They're a real emotion, and they're very valid emotions, but don't be them. So how about having an experience of those emotions, but don't be the emotion, right? Because when you be the emotion, that's when you call on the universe to say, okay, well, this is who I am and this is what I'm projecting, so I'm going to attract all of that negativity to my person. And the stress bucket goes into overdrive. The adrenal response goes, well, what's the point? Because, you know, I'm useless. I'm despondent. I can't get out of the chair. And then you start finding that your health is impacted. And sometimes in a really severe way. So you need to be able to say, okay, yes, I acknowledge that I'm sad and lonely. I acknowledge that I'm filled with grief. However, there were some beautiful flowers at the funeral. Or I did, the wake gave me the opportunity to share my sorrow with a lot of people that also felt sorrow. So you had that communal sorrow going on, but in a more, I'd say, jovial way, but I don't mean in a disrespectful way.
No.
Because it's at the wake and at the celebrations afterwards and at the celebration of life that people bring up funny stories that have happened.
Yes.
With their loved one. Right, and you come together on a more harmonized group because you're all sharing things that meant something to you. mightn't have meant something to someone else, but they're your memories that you're bringing forward of the time when such and such happened.
Sure.
I think they're the ones you supplant the sorrow to. You go, yes, I'm feeling sorrow and I'm really grieving. However, look at the acknowledgement that this lady's had or this person's had or this pet's had of their life and the beauty and the gifts that they've given us in their lifetime.
Right. We come together to celebrate a life, and one of the wonderful things I think about of a memorial or a funeral is the coming together of friends over a long period. So it's quite often a reunion and it's a reconnection, and that's wonderful. And I agree, the sharing of the stories. Yeah.
I know that when you're the pivotal person who you feel you're the only one grieving, but you're not, but you sometimes, as I said, you take on the mantle of leader, because I know with the group up north, the children all gathered around the dad, right? And the children took over the leadership of a lot of the decisions and things that were going on. And in that capacity, you're not always relaxed enough to enjoy or to be jovial. And if you are, suddenly you get those guilts, you get that mirror neuron of the guilt. Oh my God, I've laughed and it's a sad occasion. So I think you need to be very gentle with yourself and go, you know, there are going to be days of sadness and happiness, and you need to blend the two. So don't, and your anniversary blues are, I mean, they're different again. So, and that's where I found, rather than access or focus on the anniversary day, I focus on mum's birthday.
Yes.
Because to me, that was a happy occasion. The passing was not for me so happy. Okay, so why would I celebrate that?
My boys have done the same thing quite often, and yet my mother will acknowledge my husband's passing. She brought it up again with me yesterday because it's coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
However, yes, I've moved on. Barry's birthday is what we tend to celebrate.
Or Mother's Day, you know, something that's more pivotal to their life rather than their passing life.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a good point. The thing is, once again, as we said at the start, it's individual. And so we're sharing our thoughts and in the hope that it might help other people. Anything is individual, especially grief. And so there's no, yes, you wanted an idea of what to expect in palliative care, and I think that's wonderful. The thing is, we all, it's different. That's a process, yes, and it can be similar. Our feelings and the way we deal with something is very much an individual situation.
Yeah. And I think too, we're Angel Heart Radio, let's face it, we have angels and guides and gifts and blessings around us forever and all the time. And we acknowledge it because that's who we are. So what you need to do is you need to identify what is a pivotal, we spoke about this off air, what is a pivotal memory that is a dead set angel message to you from that person. Right? And they can be varied and wide. And what's one of yours with Jim? What's something that when that happens, you go, oh, Jim, you're here.
What is it? Yeah, I agree. Look, something happened yesterday for me and my mother. I was travelling over to my mum's and I was talking to a friend who was explaining how she'd cleared this shelf of bottles and yet when she put her foot up, there was this bottle. And she said, I can tell you it wasn't there and it was really important to her.
Yeah.
So we'd shared that and I'd said how I found often a dried geranium pointing directly at my front door. No way was it had been placed. It wasn't the wind, you know, and I'd go, oh, thank you, Barry, being my late husband.
Yeah.
And yesterday I was at my mum's and I'd walked into the kitchen and here was a playing card on the floor and I picked it up, turned it over, and it was the King of Clubs. And I immediately thought, well, hello, Dad. Now, my mum couldn't explain how it got there. I mean, it was just
just sitting there.
Appeared. So I said, well, I think it's a message from Dad. I think she's still thinking about it because she was on the path of, well, I haven't played cards for a while.
She's looking at the practical side of life.
Exactly. I think we're very fortunate, Marnie, when we realise that, yes, they are messages. And I know you've had a couple from your mum as well.
Exactly, in the last couple of days. I was at a big event. I graduated from it. As I said, so much has been happening in my life that are positive and happy. I graduated from a small business course and we got the opportunity as a guest to go to a big event. And Ida Buttrose was the guest speaker. I mean, oh, my God, that's so awesome. But, and just on a side note, I did manage to gift her one of my books signed. That was lovely.
Fabulous. Good.
But anyhow, so she was being interviewed on stage by the MC and they were sitting in nice, comfortable chairs. And we're at a big event hall, so with big ornate ceilings. It's at Eaton's Hill and it's a big function centre. Indoors, it's not outdoors or anything, and I doubt that they have a lot of birds in the venue. It's just not that place, you know. They might be outside but not inside. Well, anyhow, I suddenly realised I was watching this feather just float down like this in front of the stage, just off to one side where they were talking. And I went, oh, my God, because that to me are the angels and guides. They're there, they're talking to us, they're saying, hi, we're here as well. For me it was, oh, Mum, there's no show without punch, hey, you had to be here as well, but how awesome. And a lot of people didn't see it. Like you'd ask, did you see the feather? And they go, well, feather? What feather are you talking about? But several at our table saw that feather. So I wasn't imagining it. And I meant to go up afterwards and take it off the stage, but then other things happened and I didn't. And then the second thing that happened, the next event I was at was our International Women's Day event. And where Mum and I did the coffee chats, right? That was our gift to ourselves in what became her last year of life. We just didn't know that. And wherever we went, there was a fly. Just no matter where we went, there was always a fly. And we always chatted. Mum would say, oh, here's my friend back, you know. And there was a fly at the International Women's Day event, just at our table, just flying around, buzzing at us all, getting in our way. We're flicking it out the way. And after a while, I went, oh, it's Mum. Goodness me, it's Mum. Hi, Marnie, I'm here with you. Bizarre. But they're a connection to a memory. So they make even if they don't make sense to other people. So find your connections, find your memory flags. And not everyone knows that money on the ground is the message from the angels. Now, it might be your particular angel. It might be just the angel saying, look, we got you here. We're supporting you. You're on the right track. You're doing the right thing. You're noticing the messages that we're giving to you. All right. So, you know, feathers and money. I often say to clients, it's not as exciting to find a white feather in a white chook yard, because just doesn't seem as quite as exciting. But if you find a black feather in a white chook yard, well, that's awesome.
Yes.
Do you find feathers all the time?
I do, yes. I love the feathers. And quite often I see it as verification or validation of a thought that I'm having.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you can live in a place like I'm on acreage and you'd think there would be feathers all the time, but we go for ages and not find feathers on the ground, and then all of a sudden we'll start finding them. And I found one in my dad's unit the other week. I was over there doing something and there was this tiny little peach-coloured feather. Now, he's in a multi-storey unit complex, you know. He doesn't have birds. And I just said to him, oh, Mum's visiting. And he said, I hope bloody not. The practical German thought, well, she's gotten out of the grave and come over. And he went, oh, God, no. So he didn't get the whole connection thing. So,
I think we're very fortunate when we do, Marnie. Again, that's another aspect of life, isn't it?
We choose to acknowledge it. We choose to have a validation and someone saying we're here for you.
Yeah.
Right. And that's our choice. And I think it's a real blessing, because otherwise we can be very lonely. You know, because you don't fully know what's afterwards. You can only judge that, you know, hopefully things are good and the messages I get are that it's fine.
There's another party going on there.
There is, and I think it's sad when you can't acknowledge the passing of someone, when you're so caught up in your grief and your anger. See, now that's another big emotion that shows through with passings of loved ones, especially unexpected passings, and especially if it's a passing by your own hand. The people living, you're at peace, but people living are not at peace. Because the questions just don't get answered. Why did they do it? How did they do it? Why didn't they ask for help? You know, why didn't I know that they needed help? That's a big one. But it's it's a very private thing that someone has done, but it does cause a lot of grief and anger. And I know people that are still angry 20 years later. So how do they move forward? You know, how do they, they're living their life, but they're living a shadow, really, life. They're not engaging. They're not celebrating the journey that the person had.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that can be a toughie. The thing is, it's important that we realise that we're holding ourselves back. You know, it's the same as if we have an argument with someone who is still living and we hold on to that. You know, the other person's forgotten about it probably, and they're going on with their life. We're the ones who are affecting ourselves, and it can get to the point where it affects our well-being.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, so what can I do? Forgiveness is huge.
And you need to, and it's the same with your grief and your anger as well. You need to acknowledge it, enjoy it, if that's not the right word, but experience it, but then let it go. And there's many ways that you can do that. You know, you can do it with the balloons. So what I find, some of the things I've got clients to do is to write a positive note that comes from the person who's passed. So I love you, say, or I'm at peace, or my peace I give you, something that means that acceptance kind of thing, and put that on a little piece of paper and put that into an unblown up balloon. And then you blow up the balloon, and on the outside of the balloon, write the expressions or the emotions that you're feeling, the grief and the anger and the loss and the loneliness and all of those kind of emotions that you might be feeling. Write them with a big felt pen on the outside of the balloon. And then go and gift yourself a pin or something that will pierce the balloon and burst it. So as you burst it, you're allowing all of those negative emotions to be poofed off into the universe. And that, you know, what a balloon looks like when it's melted, it's just all blah. There's no substance to it at all. It's just this limp little thing. The emotions have gone into that limpness. They've released out of your energy field, and they've just gone into universal abundance. But then inside the balloon is this beautiful message. So you're replacing the negative with the positive. So the grief is being replaced by happiness. You know, and it can be very simple and very releasing. And the sound that balloon makes, especially if it's blown up really nice and big, as it's released, it's just this really, really sharp sound that is a real, you know, snap.
Gone.
Yeah.
And that's something, Marnie, that can be repeated as necessary. You know, if we feel that we're still hanging on, and let's face it, some of those feelings can be deep down, and we need to get to them. We help ourselves by doing so.
Hidden emotions are as dangerous as cancer. Strong statement, but it's true. Like when the emotion is hidden and buried and not released and not acknowledged, it becomes a toxic black yuck, right? Well, and it presents as that.
My belief is that so much of our dis-ease starts in emotions that have been pushed down rather than dealt with.
Yeah. So we need to, you're not telling someone to be that happy person that's never sad and that they're so jovial you want to knock their blocks off. You're not trying to turn people into that. What you're trying to do is deflect or diffuse the constant negative energy, which is really, really heavy and very disheartening. So if you can help people with that journey, you know, can you do a practical thing? Like a lot of people that lose children convert some of the grief. It doesn't mean they don't feel grief. They do. They feel it as strongly as anybody, but they gather that grief and they make something out of it and they do something. So, you know, people that start organisations and foundations because of the loss of, you know, I'm talking to a lady at the moment and she's got, I think it's Sweet Peanuts, and she started it because they didn't feel they were able to help their grief when they lost a newborn baby. So it wasn't SIDS or anything. It was just this other thing that happened, and they weren't prepared, and they couldn't find the help that they need. A bit like me looking for palliative care when I was supposed to be looking at end of life care.
Right.
You know, they couldn't find services that would help them, like keepsake services and just support groups and different things that you need to know when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So they've started this foundation, and I'm in negotiations to make them a special spritzer that they can put in the package. So they're putting care packages in to leave at hospitals. So if it happens, the hospital chaplain can pass this parcel on, you know, and it's giving them some form of direction or guidelines so that they can traverse the trauma and the numbness that happens
mm-hmm.
when that happens.
Yeah.
You know, it is.
It's amazing how many people have done just that when they've lost a child or a loved one unexpectedly.
Yeah.
And it is up to us to a point. Our friends, yes, we have support systems. The thing is, it's up to us to use those, isn't it? Mm. And it's up to us to acknowledge our feelings and respect them. However, if I am feeling down, sure, let me acknowledge that, and then let me take that little step to say, well, what can I do? And this is where I like your list of things to do, Marnie. When, you know, when I've written down 10 things that I like to do, and so if I'm feeling down, it's like, well, okay, so how can I get out? How can I move from this position or this feeling?
It's how do you lift yourself up or uplift yourself? Because you don't always have people around you.
No.
And you might be surrounded by many people, but you're needing that single space. Mm. You're needing your space.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll often use an egg timer as well. Sounds bizarre, but time your grief.
Mm-hmm.
Like say to yourself, okay, well, I'm just going to, you know, feel this for a set time. So get your timer on your phone or an egg timer, and when it turns over, when the sand has run through, go thank you for that, for the permission, because that's sometimes we need permission to allow ourselves to feel these emotions, because people will say to you, oh, you know, but you should be over it by now. It's 5 years or it's 1 year or whatever. What right have they got? This is your business, not their business. But if you know that the grief doesn't stop on its own, that it does just keep pervading your whole energy field, give yourself permission to grieve for a set time, and then go, okay, after that time I'll have a shower, I'll wash my face. Doesn't mean you're no longer sad. It just means, okay, I've been allowed to grieve. I've just wallowed in that grief, and it was wonderful. And I know some of the things I used after Mum passed, I would, if I felt really, really sad and needed to cry, I'd watch a really sad movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because although I was crying for me, I had permission because of the sad movie to cry.
Right.
Does that make sense? It was kind of like I was using another reason to cry so I didn't look like I was just being a sort girl. Another really bizarre thing I used to watch was Say Yes to the Dress. It's a show on Foxtel all about people picking wedding dresses, and for some reason that made me cry. I had no need to, but it wasn't something I had to think about or try and focus on. I could just watch the emotions of everything that was going on. And again, so find your show that gives you permission to share your grief with that show. And you don't feel as though you shouldn't be doing it.
Another one, of course, is to put on a comedy.
And laugh.
Or music that will either allow you to release your emotions or pick you up.
Very much so. And then there's vibrational products. Again, we're Angel Heart Radio Show, so we play in the field of metaphysical. Okay, so metaphysically you've got your gemstone. So what gemstone connects you to that person's soul, or what gemstone makes you feel uplifted? You know, so you've got things like just your basic ones, rose quartz and tiger eye are two very good ones that you can work with grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rose quartz is all about looking after yourself and making sure you're okay, but it's also a very gentle stone. For me, tiger eye is that strength and courage. It gives you that permission to keep moving forward. Do you know any of the gemstones you might use for grief?
No, I don't actually. I know people will quite often carry or wear a stone in, say, women in their bra. That can be helpful, or in a pocket. Yep. You can feel it.
And then I make my range of sprays. So I've got it's called Just for Mum, but it's one that you can use for grief. So it's got some ingredients in it that helps you cope with the grief that you're feeling. Mm-hmm. And vibrational energy finds, so in your energy field, there's a lack or there's an opening. So you're releasing energy, it's escaping. So some of your positive energy is coming out of a little hole there. So vibrational remedies often come along and plug that hole. And sort of help you to feel better. And mm-hmm. because sprays especially are connected to oils, the oil has a direct connection to your emotional center. So mm-hmm. it could be a memory center. So the smell of, say, lavender brings forward this person's memory. I don't know how you bottle cigarette smoke, but for some people, cigar smoke is the link to the memory. They'll smell cigar smoke and there's none around. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how you would bottle that. That would be a bit harder. But what is the smell that you need to uplift yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what other products are out there? There's all the you know, your bush flower remedies, your shell essence, which is my special one, the shell essence remedies. Kalala Bay Scallop is one that's very much about grief, and it helps you to deal with anniversary day grief as well, and anniversary mm-hmm. day blues. So it's a lovely, gentle essence that just fills the space that you're feeling open and raw. It just helps sort of settle that a little bit. So, you know, there's things out there. It's a matter of finding them.
Absolutely. And, Marnie, you're a great resource. You have your banner in the back there. Anique.com is where people who might be watching you for the first time, if they're...
How could that be? How could they not have watched our show before, Annette? That's terrible to think that.
Oh, there's a big wide world out there.
There is, yes.
And if regular people need a reminder, they can reach out to you at Anique.com.
They can, certainly can. And get a message to Angel Heart Radio, because we all the hosts get to see the posts and everything on that as well. So
yes,
it's very much about that.
People who are watching this show can also make comments on Angel Heart Radio Facebook page. And you can ask questions. That's what I love about Angel Heart Radio. It's if there's something that people want to know specifically, there's a topic they'd like discussed or someone they'd like interviewed, it's very much, okay, how can we serve
absolutely
the human race?
So... it just came to me then, another way. So when you've got your celebration of life that you've got to go to, a lot of people feel they need to be respectful. So sometimes mm-hmm. the person that's passed has left a message saying, I want everyone to wear bright pink or blue or something like that. But other times you bow to respect and normality, and you think, I must wear dark colours, you know, and things like that. And mm-hmm. I helped a client and her young daughter who cared for the lady's sister, which was the child's aunt, right? So it was an aunt-sister relationship. And they cared for her through her cancer journey and her passing. And they needed to be able to go to the celebration of life with some form of semblance of ability to be able to stand up and do the eulogy and stuff like that. And we came up with a solution that she needed to link to her sister in a way that was secret, or like between the two of them. It didn't have to be out in the open, right? Mm-hmm. And so it turned out that through, you know, the muscle testing and everything, that the colour purple was very relevant. Now, purple is a colour of reverence and of healing and all those kind of things. But for her, it was just their favourite colour. Mm-hmm. So we came up with a solution that she could wear the outer clothes and have that as respectful for the family. But she went hunting and she found the most amazing set of underwear. like bra and pants. They were in this bright purple color. And she said she could smile the whole time through because she knew she was wearing these amazing underwear and that the sister would really appreciate it. But she wasn't offending anyone's sensibilities by wearing that color out in the open. Mm-hmm. And her daughter wore a little amethyst necklace, which for her was appropriate. So it was that whole secret message or that very special sister message that was happening. At the same time, other people weren't really aware of it. But she said it just made things, it gave her the courage to stand up and be the person that she had to be for that day. Mm-hmm. And, she said she smiles so often in later times thinking about how that came through and how that message came through. And she said it was just perfect.
Mm.
Now, so what do you need to do to help you cope with the grief but being happy and pleased about some of the solutions that you're coming up with?
It's wonderful. Today, more children seem to be involved in celebration. You know, in years gone, I know I was a teenager and yet wasn't allowed to go to my grandfather's funeral because it was considered, I guess, too sad. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
anyway, I'm welcome today's situation where, yes, children are involved. And I know there was a service recently that I watched on Zoom and the grandchildren released bubbles at the end of the service. Yeah.
Because that, I just went, they have to release their grief as well.
Yes, that's right. And so to involve grandchildren, and I know that's happening more and more, isn't it? Processions can be, or items of significance can be placed either at the front, depending on whether there's a coffin or not. These days, quite often, there isn't a coffin.
No.
It really is a celebration of the life.
Yeah. I know that was one of, it was a lot of hard times, but that was one of my hardest things, thinking how am I going to get through looking at this regular coffin. Mm-hmm. And the way we got around that was we were at the funeral home, there was my dad and my brothers and I, and we're looking at all the, you know, the stately things with all the handles, and I'm going, oh, this is horrible. And you didn't want to be there, but you had to be. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't. And anyhow, we had this family thing that every time we live across, like you go across the bridge and you're into the area that you live in sort of thing. So we go over the Pine Rivers Bridge, and there was always this, mum got seasick, right? So she wasn't a good traveller. And she told dad once that she wanted to take a trip down the North Pine River, or South Pine River, whichever one it was, North Pine. And dad just said, oh, it'll be right, Carmel. So when you're dead, I'll put you in a cardboard box and send you down the river. And that was just a standing joke. And as mum would go over and I'm back again over the bridge, she'd look at the river and she'd go, oh, no, not today, guys. I'm not ready yet. So it was just family, maybe maudlin, but it was just part of some of the comments we used to make. Anyhow, we're in that funeral home looking for a coffin. And anyhow, I turned around and all of a sudden I saw these amazing coffins that were all decorative. And there was like a football one, an Australia flag, and then right on the bottom there was this amazing photograph of a river and the trees behind the river. So it was a river scene. And I said to the guy, what are they? And he said, oh, they're just coffins. They're called vinyl wrap coffins. I went, right, can we have those? And he said, oh, sure. And, you know, we discussed prices and I jabbed Dad in the ribs and I said, Dad, quick, turn around and look. What do you think of that one? And he turned around and he went, ah, the Pine River. So we chose that one. And I know when I told my children that I'd picked a vinyl wrapped coffin, they were mortified. They went, oh, my God, Mum, what have you done? But when they saw it, everyone knew how perfect it was because the family knew the story. And it turns out it was made from a local producer, and it actually was the North Pine River in the photo. Okay. It was just perfect, and I could cope looking at that up on the front area.
Right.
Then we put her mug on one end and Bailey's on another, and the flowers in the middle, and it was more of a celebration. It wasn't that dark, heavy, wooden coffin. But it was something that was and I've never felt comfortable to share that very much on pictures and stuff because it was a private thing. And some people would find that very confronting to suddenly see a coffin in the middle of a photo. But But gosh, right. It was absolutely perfect.
Gorgeous. See?
Yeah.
All of these lovely opportunities these days. I know other people quite often choose something that they can write on so that there's lots of words to describe
the children person. Paint them and everything.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we do have a lot more choice and I think what I would suggest is trust your gut feeling, trust your message from your heart, because that'll make you happier is the wrong word, but it'll make you more satisfied with the decisions that you're making. You won't live with regret. All right, so make your decisions based on your heart energy and what you know is right for that person. And don't be talked out of some things that you really want to happen. Because that's the regret that you have later on. That's the, you know, that's when it builds up because, oh, but I wanted to do this and I wasn't allowed. It just forms part of that toxic growth.
Wow.
It's a sad thing to talk about, but you need to be able to talk about it, don't you? You need to be able to relive your memories and your emotions, but you need to accept life. And
absolutely.
You'll often hear people that are left when it's just tragic. I mean, it's all tragic. I'm not lessening or lightening anyone's situation, but sometimes they seem more tragic than others. And you don't know how you're going to go through. And it's that knowledge that you're here for something else. The experience, it hasn't been the reason you're here. You didn't come here just to experience grief and death and things like that. It just happens to be part of your journey. But they then find a spark for something else. And it can take time to find that spark, but you just need to put one foot in front of that. Baby steps are beautiful. Don't try and do it too quickly or don't be told by other people how you to do the grief. It's your grief.
It is. And quite often our grief will lead us to helping others. We were talking earlier, Marnie, about how people, especially people who lose ones through tragic circumstances and children. I know a family, several come to mind, where children have either overdosed accidentally or whatever. And then they use that as a spur to go and speak to other maybe school groups. And I look at the Morecambes up in Queensland.
Yeah.
They've committed their lives. And so it's important to see, okay, well, what can I do with my grief? We might simply be helping one other person. We're helping ourselves by helping others. We're giving our life a purpose where we suddenly think, oh, our lives have come to an end because we're losing someone. No, where that's helped us to go on to have a purpose.
And don't think that you have to be the spokesperson for something. A lot of people grieve privately and they do things privately. They're not always out on the stage. But then you also need, you know, with any yin and yang, you need the people that are more able to be in the public life and the ones that aren't. But everyone plays a part in the journey of life. Absolutely. And it all becomes part of your fabric of life. And I call it a tapestry. You know, and little spots aren't filled in yet. So it doesn't matter because when you step back, you see the whole thing. You don't see the little spots that aren't filled in yet. Yeah.
Well, we all can make a difference. Yeah. Somebody said to me today, something about, I said, oh, may there be love, joy, fun and laughter, the big four in your life today. And this person said, oh, I'm going to work, I doubt it. And I said, oh, well, it's up to you to create it.
Yes, I mean, you're getting paid to go to work. You can go to work in COVID time. You know, there's a lot of blessings there.
That's exactly right. Again, it's how we look at it. You know, I've got to do X, Y, or Z. Or, oh, my goodness, this gives me an opportunity. I'm meeting people. I've got the opportunity to help. Or who knows?
Sometimes life can be so overwhelming that you don't know where to start. Like it's just a big mush around here. So you need to start simple. If you start complicated, people aren't going to do it or try it because they just can't cope at that stage. They're already overwhelmed. So I know sometimes I get people to, when they first open their eyes, see if they can think of one positive feeling or thought. Don't try and make it too big. It could be just, oh, you know, I'm in my room, or my pillow was great last night, or I'm looking forward to doing something. But start the habit of a positive thought rather than, oh, shit, it's another day. You know, that's setting your scene. So you need the scene set to a more positive scene. So you start with that, and that can seem such a simple thing to do. But honestly, it gets you into the habit of looking for something positive as your eyes open up.
Yep. Now, Agnes Vivarelli was on with me last week, Marnie. Agnes was saying that every morning when she showers, she thinks of 20 things to be grateful for.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Now,
yes, I think that's a fabulous idea. For some people, it would be 20. Oh, my God.
I know. Goodness. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's why I start with one.
With one.
Yeah,
start
exactly.
Build it to two, build it to three.
If you can start your day with that positivity, you can then start to implement the end of the day and write the things you were grateful for that have happened. So you set the scene by being positive by getting up. You, you complete the circle by being positive and grateful for whatever's happened through the day. And people think it has to be really big things. No, no, no. It could be just I got to eat lunch today. You know, it mightn't be a common thing. Or
before 3 o'clock.
Enjoyed that cup of tea I just had. Or it doesn't have to be big stuff. People get so caught up in the hype of the magnificence of some people's lives. Everyday people are the ones that you know, they achieve so much in their lifetime. They just don't realize how wonderful they are. So that's the other thing they need to say: I'm blessed and wonderful. Yes. Just starting up with that statement every morning.
Exactly. Yeah, I was blessed a couple of days ago, Marnie. I was doing my usual thing in the supermarket and this young man from Woolies came along and said, would you like some flowers? Obviously, they had some needed to be used. And I went, oh, I love you.
Awesome.
It was just lovely. So,
yeah. No, it's unexpected blessings. Yeah,
exactly. Like, thank you.
Yeah. And look, saying thank you, that's another thing that raises your energies. Just say thank you to someone. We're looking at my daughter's a vet, and there's a lot of disharmony in vet life. There's quite a few vets take their lives. It's got the highest demographic of suicides in any profession, which is really sad. Yeah, you don't, it's quite confronting. And when another vet has passed, they've got this symbol, N-O, not another vet now or something like that, and it's a little hashtag that they use. And we were sort of talking about how can we as a community support our vets and staff, and not always through monetary, and we're sort of trying to come up with the concept of writing little handwritten cards and taking them to the local vet clinic and just saying, oh, we just thought we'd like to acknowledge what an awesome job you all do. And just doing that ripple effect, and you just don't know if that card is going to make the difference between someone who's feeling a bit dejected or low, because there's many reasons for it. It's not just one reason. So what can you do? There was an elderly lady at Redcliffe that used to go along and hand you a hi, you're awesome card. And she'd just randomly go to people's tables as she'd walk down Redcliffe and give people a little gift. But it was such a lovely thing to do.
Yes.
You know, and such a nice thing to receive for no reason.
Well, Marnie, you had smiley stickers that you used.
Yeah, I still use smiley stickers, yeah. When I do my talks, I take them in my stress bucket because I've got the Henry stress bucket, and I've got it full of smiley, and I usually do them in pairs, so I cut two at a time. And then when I hand it round to people, I say they take some smile out of their stress bucket, and they've got one for themselves and one for someone else at any time. It doesn't matter. So then they can share their smile, you know, and it's just something to uplift them, and something that's simple that they can do that's easy.
Yes, yeah. The little thank you cards or the thank you phone calls, especially to organisations. You know, we're very quick as humans to get on if we have a complaint. how often do we simply stop to say thank you to the people who serve us in the supermarket, or thank you to the customer service people? I don't like these surveys that are coming in, but I like to thank the person themselves.
Yes.
Thank you for being so patient with me when I'm trying to do
something.
Thank
you. I'm hanging up on you. Yeah, look, it doesn't take any effort whatsoever to smile and nod and welcome someone. And you just don't know what sort of a day they're having. You're not in their shoes. You're not wearing their hat. So if you can share a smile with someone, so be it. That's awesome. Hello, Rosemary. How are you?
Oh, isn't this lovely?
They popped up on screen.
I just thought, I looked at the time and it was 5:02 and I thought, I might get a couple of minutes with Marnie.
Here I am. I'll be here with Annette.
Rosemary, you might like to tilt your screen a lot, just a little bit, so that we can see more.
There we go.
Yes, now we can
see. Now we get you and not just your head.
I put the blind down a bit too.
I put down my curtains and turn on lights.
At my age, Marnie, sort of thing, when I see myself on the screen, I go,
You get used to it, but you just I never know which way to tilt my head. I always end up tilting it the wrong way.
Well, it's all backwards, I find.
Back to front. I think I'm tilting it right and I end up going sideways even more. So then I go, I go over this side.
Well, I sort of wet and combed my hair and put some lipstick on and put my pendant
beads
on.
Yeah, good girl.
Because I thought, it's only voice, and they won't see me. And then I thought, look at me, I've been out in the garden. The hair was sort of all out here. And I thought,
you look beautiful. Very lovely beads and your top and everything. So blue's our colour. We're a blue show, aren't we?
And we can feel your energy, Rosemary.
Oh, thank you, darling. I like a bit of colour and things like that. Hey, girls.
Yeah.
See this book?
Yep.
Connect
with colour. Yep.
Connect with colour. I had it years ago because she was a friend of mine, very close friend. She taught me art and all sorts of things. And I told a girl about it and she got it from Amazon.com. Okay. Who have free postage at the moment, because it's $65, would you believe? Okay. And when she wrote it and Balboa charged her $65, she thought, well, I can't even sell this. So she let it all go, and it was about 15 years ago that she did it all. But it's so up to date. Yeah. And she's got a tip for every colour vibration. And I've been using it with the group here. And, it's fantastic. And I bought a couple of her bottles because she only just sells them to friends now, sort of thing. And the pink tip I thought I'd read on for everybody today. It's so good because pink helps reduce fear, And when we were meditating, did you get my newsletter, Annette, that I sent out from the group?
Yes.
Yeah. And during the meditation, Marnie, somebody said, I ask everybody, well, what happened during the meditation? Someone said, there was all this pink around us.
Yeah.
And by the time she finished talking, everybody said, oh, I feel in the pink now.
Yeah.
So I got out the book and read it, what she says about pink.
Yeah.
And I thought, it's so good to know.
Yeah.
It gets rid of fear and makes you feel good and things like that.
Self love.
Self love, exactly, Marnie.
Yeah. We spoke about rose quartz a bit earlier about the soft pink of, I call it coconut ice pink. It's that lovely, soft, yummy pink.
That's right. But we don't think to use it during the day if we feel stressed and anxious, things like that.
Mm.
And just breathe in the
breathe,
pink.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it was a good reminder.
It was. I love using colour. I use colour a lot with children as well, because children can tell you what colour an emotion is.
Well, do you know what? I was meditating and all of a sudden these words came in and I said to my friend, this is for your granddaughter. I said, you're supposed to buy this book. And she said, what book? And I said, Connect with Colour. And you're supposed to read it to your granddaughter who's seven. I said, because, Mani, you're right. I said, she already knows all about colour.
Yeah.
And it'll just remind her what she already knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they do, don't they? They know.
Yeah, well, you can say to them, what colour is that feeling? And they can tell you. And then you can say, well, what colour is a better feeling? And they can tell you that as well. Like,
oh, that's a good thing to say. Now, thank you for that, because I'm going to say that to one of my clients who's a school teacher.
Yep, yep. Ask him to ask what colour that feels.
Yeah, and what colour is a better feeling?
Better choice.
Thank you. That's fantastic.
My pleasure.
That's really helpful.
Sorry, Annette.
No, that's great. I love all of these little tips.
Yeah.
That's handy. Well, see, I feel we're meant to share these tips, and that's why I created my first newsletter from the group, because I said it's meant to go to all the people who aren't here, you know, and more, and then they can spread it. These tips are really good. Everybody knows something.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. And we were sort of saying earlier that our experiences can help other people in their experience as well. So definitely. A shared experience is shared knowledge. And people sometimes think, oh, no one else feels this way or no one else knows how I'm feeling. But you don't know exactly what they're feeling, but you may have gone through something that helps them cope with what they're going through at the time.
So. You know what? I wish I had a notepad for all the things.
It's recorded, Rosemary. It's recorded. You don't need a notepad.
Well, that's fantastic. I was hoping it would be. Hey, this is very good. I should be writing all this down.
Yeah, no. I used to try and do that, didn't I, Annette? And I'd be so busy scribbling, I'd forget what I was saying. So, but it's recorded. No, we don't need to.
Wisdom is coming out straight out of your mouth, Marnie.
Oh, thank you.
It really is. And it's very precise and very accurate.
Thank you.
What I mean? It's sort of like...
Some people say I'm just a boss. I even have my boss lady cup, look.
Oh, that's good. Can I just ask, did you, Annette, give Marnie the message I got for her?
Yeah. I believe that it was released after the ceremony. They were just hanging on.
It must be because I can't see it now. You know, it's gone now.
Yeah. I said to Annette, thanks for that. But I didn't know exactly who it was, but I just thought they were hanging on to her energy to get through the day.
Yeah.
And it was one of the younger ones, I believe. So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for that. Yes, I was aware of it. I didn't share it up north, but I did share it. I did watch myself and go, okay, I know who that is.
Yeah. So. Now, what's your surname? I've just got to...
Perna, P-E-R-N-A, yes.
P-E-R-N-A, right, yes. So, no, wisdom, that's really good.
Well, there you go. Wisdom, money. I say I give money-isms. They're the wisdom of my heart. So.
Oh, that's wonderful.
All right, ladies, I might have to go.
Okay. Well,
are we up to that, Annette?
We are.
We are?
Yes. So
thank you once again. For having me on the show with you.
Thank you.
And you ladies have a bit of fun now.
We will, yes. Rosemary is here to share some thoughts and a meditation. So
gorgeous.
It's a lovely conclusion to the show.
Yeah. So thank you. And I will talk to you in a month via, but
bye-bye.
Before then on Facebook and any other view.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thanks, Annette. Thanks, Rosemary. Thanks. Have a great time.
Thank you, Marnie, for your wisdom, love.
That's what I love. Very bye.
Good. Bye.
Bye-bye. Now, Rosemary, this is such a treat for our audience that you're not only going to share some wisdom with us, but you're going to lead us in a meditation, which is fantastic. Thank you.
I enjoy leading a meditation. I don't know. We've all got talents, haven't we, Annette? And
absolutely.
They vary, you know, and it seems to be over the years, one of my talents is I just stopped talking. these words just come through my mouth, you know, sort of thing, are given to me. And it seems to be helping people, you know, to meditate, which is important these days.
Absolutely. Yes. Marnie and I were talking this morning, Rosemary, about how our experiences can help other people. And certainly you are a very wise woman who is happy to share with others. And you're constantly doing that through your home, through your meditation group, and also now through Angel Heart Radio, where obviously you're getting the words out there to the world, which is fantastic.
It gives me great joy to be able to help people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I make a prayer every morning to Sai Baba and I say, I hope to spend today loving all, serving all. And that's my prayer for the day. And nothing pleases me more than to be able to help somebody. And I think what Marnie was saying before, we all have experiences, and when you get to my age, I've had a lot of experiences. And you can say to people, like I do phone sessions, and I say to people, I know how you feel, you know, and you can relate to them, and you mm-hmm. can advise them and help them. And because you've been through that yourself, you know, sure. you've had all these experiences. And, it's a wonderful thing to be able to do, to help people, I think.
Yeah. Indeed.
Makes you very happy.
Well, it does. And the thing is, Rosemary, I know that you're out there in a bigger way. However, everybody is able to support themselves and to support other people. It might simply be a kind word, a smile, a flower handed over or left on a doorstep. Who knows? We don't know just how we can impact. And I've learned that when I tune into my inner knowing, it's amazing. I'm guided to do things that are very timely.
Exactly. Can I share a story that a friend of mine shared with me? She was driving up north to the country, and it was a long drive. It was about 6 or 7 hours. And she stopped in a little town, and she didn't know the shops or where to get things. And she walked into a cafe and she tried to get a sandwich for lunch, and it was past lunchtime, just past, and they said, no, kitchen's all closed, you know, go down the street. So she went a couple of doors down, and she went in there, no, we're all shutting up now, you know, sort of thing. Go down the street and there's a bakery. So she walked down the street about 100 metres, and she said it was a funny little arcade, and she went into the arcade and got a sandwich, and there was a little seats outside the bakery, and she sat down. She's eating a sandwich, and on the seat next to her was a lady. And the lady was on the phone, and she said, I wasn't listening, but I couldn't help overhearing, because she was speaking rather loudly, and I could also hear what was being said to her. And the lady was saying, I just need somewhere to sleep tonight. I've got nowhere to sleep tonight. Can you help me, please? And she said, I heard on the other end of the phone someone say, you're on the list. We've made a note of it. You're on the list. When it comes up, we will ring you in a couple of weeks. And the lady said, no, I need somewhere to sleep tonight and tomorrow night. I've got money to pay on Wednesday. I get my pension, but I've got nothing. I haven't got any money tonight. I need somewhere to sleep. I'm homeless. And again, the voice replied, you're on the list. We'll get in touch with you. anyway, my friend said she got up, and it was just, she said, I hesitated at first, but then there was a knowing inside me, like you're saying, what she was to do. And she opened a purse and took out $100 and went and put it in the lady's hand and said, get somewhere to sleep tonight and tomorrow night. And the lady looked astounded and said, but I don't even know you. How do I pay it back? And she said, you don't. You pay it forward.
Right.
And she left. And but what my friend said to me afterwards, she said, Rosemary, it was incredible the way the angels or spirit worked to get me there.
Yes.
Because the first two shops, I couldn't get a sandwich in.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to walk all that way down the end of a town I didn't even know to sit on that seat to hear her story. She said that was what was remarkable to me.
Mm.
And I just knew I had to, I was placed there for a reason to help that lady. Isn't that lovely?
Beautiful story. Beautiful story. Yeah. Yes, I've heard of people paying, going into a cafe and saying, you know, I'll pay for my coffee and for one for the next person who comes in, or someone who doesn't necessarily have to be the next person, I guess, or somebody might be fossicking for change in a supermarket and it's okay, just add that to my bill or whatever. No, simple little things that we can do.
Simple little things. And as you said, the smile. The smile helps a lot. And being old, I can get away with it now. When I'm at the shopping centre, you know, I smile at babies. I smile at mothers with young babies and ask them how old they are and isn't a beautiful baby. And I was sitting down, have trouble walking sometimes. And so I was sitting outside the seat in front of Coles and supermarket. And behind me was a man and a woman, and they'd just come out of the supermarket and they had their trolleys.
Mm-hmm.
So they were sort of behind me and I'm facing this way because the seats were back to back. And she's saying, no, I didn't buy any cake. Your blood sugar's right up. No, you can't. There was no cake without sugar in them. And I don't know, the children, when they arrive, they'll just have to eat some fruit or something. No, I didn't buy any cake. So, of course, I, being me now, and I can, as I said, I can get away with it because I'm old. I think that's centric, maybe, you see. I turned around and I said to them, is your blood sugar very high? I do know of something that can really help. And I told them about Nutricane D that was tested in Melbourne Hospital for 2 years before it was released on the market. And I said, that would really help. So the man was so excited. He was writing the name down. And she was sort of looking very much, who's this lady talking to? And I just laughed. I'm old, I can get away with this. I'm talking to strange people. But he was so pleased that there is some, that he heard of something that can help get his blood sugar down. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. So we can do all sorts of things to help people.
We can.
And John did a lovely thing coming out of a Bunnings store. And a lady was coming with parcels, you know, and John was putting ours in the car and he went back and he said, where's your car? Can I help you to your car, please? You know, little things like that. Can I help you to your car with your parcels? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you feel as though you have an excuse because you're old.
I do.
We all have a purpose, and you know, that lovely friend of yours who happened to overhear the conversation, you know, how special. We, Yes, we're placed in positions, I believe, to make a difference. And it's sometimes we're aware and we get the message and we know what it is we have to do. I did that recently. I walked into a store. It was after the short lockdown here in Melbourne. And there was nothing in the store that I needed. And yet I thought, here's a woman who is opening her store. There is nobody around. My goodness me. And I'd walked out and I was looking at some things at the front of the store and there was still nothing that really my fancy. And yet I wanted to do something for the woman. And I did. I went back in and said, buy yourself a drink or do something at the end. Oh, no, she said. And I said, yes, please. No, you've got this store. I didn't know her story, but I do know that shopkeepers are finding it very, very difficult. Some of them who are still in business, I reckon they're just hanging on because sadly so many have lost out. They just couldn't keep going. So it's wonderful to be able to, as you say, Rosemary, pay it forward.
Definitely. That's a lovely story too. And as you say, everybody can, not just old people like me.
That's right. Everybody can. Yes, we can all make a difference. I know you're going to make a difference because you're offering a meditation.
I think it's more important than ever to be aware. To be aware of the feelings, like you say. If you were lost in thought, you wouldn't notice things. You wouldn't notice your feelings. You wouldn't be listening to your intuition. The energies at the moment, as you probably agree, coming onto the planet are very, very intense, very high, and we need to integrate them into our bodies. Otherwise, I know people have been complaining of heart palpitations and things like this, headaches. And I'm told that the energies coming onto the planet are from Arcturus, which is a wonderful star, wonderful energies of love, but the vibration of them is very, very strong. And so it's important to empty out our mind. Our mind never shuts up. Some days I say, oh, shut up.
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, goodness me, I get tired of it. So if we just listen to a meditation for a few minutes, these short meditations, you can Google them. I've put even one out that just help your awareness. So if we do one now, and I hope it'll help people be more aware, more conscious. And I'd like to, during the meditation, I think I'll be given words to expand their consciousness and take them up higher and higher. So let's see what I'm given. Okay.
Wonderful.
All right. So I'm just getting comfortable and I'll shut my eyes. Feeling the weight of your body on the chair. Bring your awareness to your body and your feet. Feeling your feet on the floor. And breathe. Be conscious of the breath going in and out. Now you've become more aware. Feel the temperature of the air on your skin. Is it cold? Is it warm? feel your whole body sitting on the chair, or wherever it's sitting. Become aware of the sounds around you. Perhaps you can hear a clock ticking. Traffic outside. Keep your awareness on the whole body at the same time as you're listening. Taste the taste in your mouth. Now take a deep breath in to the count of four. And breathe out to the count of five. This stops the thinking. Breathe in to the count of four. Breathe out to the count of five. One more. Breathe in to the count of four. Breathe out to the count of five. Expand your awareness to include the whole room and outside the building, or further away if you're sitting already outside. Let it expand. Let it go out further. Set your consciousness free to expand even further. That's it. Let it go out to the ocean. Up higher. Slowly rising. Higher. 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 Going up. Now you can see colors. Beautiful colors. It's like the Aurora Borealis. There's greens and pinks, lemons, yellows. Beautiful. And you're still going up. You're being taken up to the fifth dimension, I'm told. Where the angels and archangels are. Beautiful energy of love and peace, harmony. Let your imagination show you archangels coming to meet you. Archangel Zadokiel, Haniel, Michael, Gabriel, so many archangels greeting you, loving you. Makes you smile. makes your heart happy. You feel so peaceful. You feel like you belong here. You're resting. Resting your mind, your bodies, your whole self is at peace. I can see a beautiful pink. Notice what colors are around you. Their vibrations, and they've come to help you, to comfort you, to heal you. Breathe them in. Allow them into your consciousness. Now you thank the archangels. There may be one in particular who's going to accompany you back and stay with you and assist you. Thank them. And slowly you come back, back, slowly you come down, bringing the peace with you and the rest and the harmony and the love. Bring it back down with you into your physical body, into your etheric body, your mental body, your emotional body, your spiritual body, because now they're all aligned and you are whole. You are whole. Breathing. Bringing your consciousness, your awareness back to your physical body. Taking your time. Perhaps you're wriggling your fingers. Archangel Michael's with me, and I'd like to thank him. And I always say, Michael, thank you for protecting us when we open our consciousness to meditate. Thank you for allowing only love to enter. Our bodies are filled with love, Michael. And peace. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Opening our eyes, you might like to gently stretch.
Yes. Idea, wriggle those toes. Oh. Rosemary, what a gift you have, and what a gift you have given us. Thank you.
Thank you. I just hope this is recorded because I can never remember anything when I come back.
Well, it is.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yes. So, and that's the beauty of technology today, because our audience can listen again and again and again, which is fantastic.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I have so enjoyed being with you again on Angel Heart Radio. And I'm in my heart, I'm saying hello to all the people I've met before and welcome them, you know, saying hello. It's lovely.
Well, it is lovely, Rosemary, and I hope that maybe this can become a regular occurrence, because you're a very special lady and you have so much to share with the world. And as you say, this is a very important time, and we all need to know just how important we are to this world and how important it is that we live through love as much as we possibly can.
Could I just read two lines of this book about pink and leave them with these words? A pink tip. Pink is an antidote to fear. Fear-based thinking can absorb the light in the colours of your aura and send your energy dull, dark, and out of balance faster than the speed of light. Pink, use pink, think pink, I'm thinking, when you're feeling unloved or don't feel good. Pink will balance your energy and bring the light of love back in.
Beautiful.
Lovely to finish on pink. Hope everybody's in the pink.
Yes.
Thank you, Annette.
Thank you, Rosemary. And thank you to our audience today. Thank you for being with us. May you spread your love, your light, your magic, and make this world a better place. Bye for now.